Maybe I can even actually take a step back and ask how you might approach a patient like that, Mario, today.
We often focus more on sequential secondary hormonal therapies. I think the data from immunotherapy is interesting, and I do feel that there might be some merit on this. What I'm not clear is in patients where we don't see any other tangible evidence of benefit, no decline in PSA, no symptomatic improvement, no delay in time to progression. Maybe it's an issue of capturing all these things, and maybe certainly PSA decline may not be a feature of immunotherapy. The evaluation of immunotherapy may be totally different than what we're accustomed to. Maybe there's a crescendo effect, and what we're going to see is a delayed benefit, like survival benefit. But how do you assess that? And especially in a situation where patients receive subsequent treatment that do prolong survival. If that data was not prospectively collected, I think there is room for some skepticism. But we tend not to use sipuleucel-2 frequently, but I have no strong arguments against it. I do feel that immunotherapy now has, in all different types, immunoconjugates, other vaccine-based or anti-PD-1 compounds, I mean, we do a lot of it, and there's maybe more enthusiasm for my part now of evaluating this, but I have not gotten personally to the level where I would use it routinely in practice.
Susan?
Well, I can tell you that one of the concerns that we've had is the fact that it's a very good product. I would use it if somebody were to ask. I often present it as an alternative. But the competition has been largely with enzalutamide as well as abiraterone. And I can tell you as far back as almost a year ago, most patients, when given the option of spending the $93,000 that's mostly reimbursable by Medicare, versus going on to abiraterone or a clinical trial with enzalutamide, have often opted to take one of those two as opposed to going through the immunotherapy. Part of it is quality of life. They take a pill, they travel, and they see an anti-tumor effect. The problem with trying to sell, if you will, the immunotherapy is that there is no immediacy of response, and that's what people get very nervous about. They want to see something, and when you try to talk them through it, we said, well, it's immune therapy, we can wait as long as 6 months. Most patients, once they see that PSA start to double or triple in a very short period of time, are already sweating bullets and immediately want to do something. And that's unfortunate because I don't know where the anti-tumor effect, if any, is going to occur.
What happened with this patient, Bob?
This patient got SIPT about 7 months later, developed symptomatic progression, and received docetaxel on a clinical trial with a combination agent.
Any problems or issues while getting the SIPT?
This particular patient doesn't. I mean, the only issues we typically see with SIPT are really, frankly, mechanical, logistical, with catheters and things like that. Really, the morbidity of the therapy is minimal.
What's your response to Susan and Mario, and how do you integrate SIPT in your practice?
So there's no question this is one of the most tortured studies ever published in the medical literature in terms of its analysis and overanalysis. It's the perfect storm of a therapy in a disease in which is managed by multiple different clinical subtypes where a biochemical marker drives anxiety and this. I mean, it's an amazingly complicated thing to talk with patients about. So it's time consuming, it's problematic. The way I manage my patients with this is I talk about this as a therapeutic paradigm of a chronic illness, and that this is a therapy with a different mechanism of action that is added on to the paradigm, does not replace anything, does not delay disease progression. I agree with my colleagues. For every 10 people I discuss this with, one or two will opt to proceed. Intelligent people who understand it, get it, and say, no, thank you very much, I'm going to do something else. It's a very interesting issue, I think, that as we begin to have additional data that's immunologically based, we may reflect on this somewhat differently.
William?
Yeah, I think the real problem is that patients feel very visceral about the treatments that they undergo, and despite our attempts to get away from PSA as a driver of decision-making about the effectiveness of a treatment, we're still reliant on it. So it really does take time to prep the patient for this treatment, both because of the investment over that 5-week window when they're actually getting the immunotherapy, but also with regard to their expectations during and soon after the treatment. That said, this is a space that still is not populated by approved drugs. I just want to remind everyone that enzalutamide will not be approved in this early asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic pre-chemo space. And we expect abiraterone to be approved in that setting, but it's not yet. So many of us do, in fact, still use traditional antiandrogens like bicalutamide and sometimes ketoconazole if we can't get abiraterone approved. And in that setting, just like Rob pointed out, I introduced this, and there's going to be a subset of patients who will agree to go forward. Those are the people who really understand what they may be getting out of the bargain.